حضرت مفتی یعقوب صاحب, السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اہلا وسہلا و مرحبا to you on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Allah Ta'ala bless you and the family with afiyat and good health. Allah Ta'ala take great work of deen and Islam from you. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Amin ya rabbal alamin. Wa salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to our wonderful listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with another opportunity. This is really from Allah, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how much we try, we can never be thankful enough. An amazing dua that when we awaken, we should read. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. Oh Allah, we praise you. All praise is due to Allah who has given us life. Ba'dama amatana, after death, wa ilayhin nushur, and to him alone is the resurrection. So we are going to stand before Allah one day, and Allah has given us life again. We have to thank Allah Ta'ala for that. Another amazing dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi radda ilayya ruhi. Allah, all praise is due to you. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who has returned my ruh to me. Radda ilayya ruhi wa'afani fi jasadi. So many go to sleep and they don't wake up in the morning. And Allah, I thank you for returning my soul to my body. Because it wasn't our right that we live. It's Allah's favor who has granted us life. So Allah, I thank you. Radda ilayya ruhi. You have returned the ruh to me. وَعَافَانِي فِي جَسَدِي. How many awaken in the morning but ill, afflicted with a heart attack, paralysis, blindness, deafness, some other ailment, some challenge a person awakens with. وَعَافَانِي فِي جَسَدِي. Allah, how do I thank you that you have awakened me in such a manner that there's functionality and there's health in my limbs. وَعَافَانِي فِي جَسَدِي. Oh Allah, I thank you for that. And oh Allah, I thank you even more for this other favor. وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. Allah, you have enabled me to take your name. So he, Allah, has enabled me, has allowed me, has permitted me to utter his pure name. وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. How do I thank you for that, Ya Allah? And oh Allah, you've given me virtue over so many of your creation. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. Alhamdulillah, رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So really, Allah has blessed us. Allah has enabled us. And Allah give us tawfiq to make our time in this world count. Alhamdulillah. And may Allah take us in a manner that Allah is happy with us. And here, subhanAllah, we were in the discussion of this mighty Nabi of Allah, who's mentioned so many times in the Quran Kareem. Such a mighty man of Allah, a man chosen by Allah, a man who's the father of the Anbiya alayhim salam. So as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is making an effort in the community he came from, and he's calling them to Allah, and he's striving in Allah's way. Now he's convincing the community, trying to open their minds. You see, Allah alone is in control, and it's not the idols, and the idols can't help you. So, سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ. Now they're wondering, who would have done this to the idols? So they mentioned there was this man who always tells us about Allah and how his idols aren't anything. It has to be him. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is summoned. He's now arrested, and now they pose these questions to him. They interrogate him, and now he wants them to open their minds. So now he tells them, see, ask the big one. Ask them. فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The big one did it. Ask them if they can speak. فَسَأَلُوهُمْ. In كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. So now, obviously, they know these idols can't speak. And he knows that, obviously. But he wants now to open their minds when he says the biggest of them did it. So he wants them to realize that even the big idol wouldn't like others to be ascribed as partners. So he wants them to understand, see, Allah, who created us and does everything for us, he does not like the fact that you are ascribing partners unto him. So this is why he wanted to open their minds, and he used this strategy with them. فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَسَأَلُوهُمْ. Ask them. Casually he said, you know, he had his answer ready, because he was waiting for them to ask him. He wanted the opportunity to present the message to them in such an effective way. When he said this to them, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Now they started searching their own consciousness and their own conscience. And now they're wondering, yeah, he's right, man. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They retracted and went into their souls, looking into themselves, and they're telling each other, see, you guys, you yourselves are the wrongdoers. Because now they are affected by their condition. So now they're regretting it. That, you know what Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling us all along is true. We're worshipping these idols. But these idols are our creation. Subhanallah. And they started realizing. But sadly, that realization was momentarily. It was just for a short span. Then their arrogance came to the fore. And now they reacted to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. After they, first they pondered for a while, they deliberated for a while, they realized the reality for a while. But now sadly, this emotions came into the fore, and also they felt somewhat disgraced also. So they say to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ. You know these things cannot speak, these deities of ours. So Ibrahim alayhi salam then said to them, قَالْ. He, Ibrahim alayhi salam, said, do you then worship these deities instead of Allah? These deities that cannot benefit you in any way, nor can they harm you? أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ. Shame on you. وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And shame to these things you worship other than Allah, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you utilize the intellect Allah has given you? أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ. Now we find this strategy used by Anbiya alayhi salam to open the intellect of the people, to probe the minds of the people, to exhort them to think. Anbiya alayhi salam did this collectively. Anbiya alayhi salam did this individually. We find our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that incident with the two Sahaba from Medina Munawwara prior to their Islam, Hazrat Mu'adh and Hazrat Rifa'a. Finally, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed those questions to them, that who created the skies? But see, in a very casual, wise way, after doing ikram, after helping them, he asked them honestly, who created the skies? Who created the sky? Created the mountains there? Who created you and I? And what about, for each of these questions, they responded honestly, that really, Allah did all of this. Not the idols that we are going to worship. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually made them understand on a one-on-one. So Anbiya alayhi wa sallam gave da'wat on a one-on-one, and they also gave da'wat collectively. And subhanallah, every one of us can also do this. We can do so collectively. If Allah gives us an opportunity, you own that company, you have so many staff, call an alim, and give him an opportunity, give your staff some tea, let him talk to them for a few minutes in a respectful way. He can do a presentation on Islam and then give them dawah to Islam. Then ask them after that if they have any questions or they want to embrace Islam. This is a duty that you and I should fulfill. Alhamdulillah, the message has to be given. Hidayah is not in our hands, but the responsibility of the message is on our shoulders. You might say, why the responsibility is on our shoulders? My brother, let me remind you. My sister, you are from the ummah of the greatest of Anbiya alayhi salam. You are from that ummah after whom there is no ummah. You are in the ummah of him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after whom there is no nabi to come. And your status is so virtuous due to you being from his ummah, and there is no nabi to come. That's why you and I have a duty. At the end of the discussion, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to these two, he then asked them, but who manufactured the idols? They said, we. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so see, he who made us, we should worship him. What we manufactured should have rather been loyal to us. I tell you, the two were so affected. And the one there and then sat there and didn't even continue with his pilgrimage. The other went for a little while, circumambulating, during the tawaf, he's only deliberating over what Allah's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him. What an inspiration it was for him. What an impact it had on him. Soon thereafter, he rushes to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seeing his cousin already have embracing Islam, he uttered the words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seeing this is one of the early Meccan stages, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sat there and there and taught them Surah Yusuf and Surah Iqra. These are early Makki surahs of the Quran Kareem. So like that, Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba also took da'wat like Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. There's an amazing event of how Hazrat Mus'ab was in Medina Munawwara and how he's doing da'wat to the idolaters there. Then there was a beautiful incident of a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh. Amr bin Jamuh. He wasn't a Muslim, but his sons and his mother had embraced Islam. Alhamdulillah. Mu'ad, Mu'awad, Khalad, some mention of Fatsan, Abdul Rahman, and they used to attend the teachings of Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair, radiallahu anhu. And whatever they learned, they would come and teach their mother. Alhamdulillah. This is how you motivate your child, respected mother and sister. What he learns, what she learns in the madrasa, they must come home, and after the ta'lim, they must also share what they learned, alhamdulillah, throughout their day. Now what happened was, one day, their father calls the mother that, Hind, be careful, I'm worried. Our children mustn't be influenced by this teacher in our community. The fathers of Sahaba's time were worried, those who had batil, that the Sahaba mustn't reach our children. Subhanallah. Sahaba mustn't influence our children. So Hazrat Hind is saying to her husband, but what if what they're learning there is good for them? Is a motivation to them. It improves and enhances them. His reaction was, what are you saying? It has happened already? And he calls for his son, Mu'ad. He says, my son, what are you learning? What are you all doing there? And this son recites to his father some surahs of the Quran Kareem. Among them, he also reads, Subhanallah, the chapter you and I read many, many, many a time daily. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Waladdallin. The father's reaction was like, amazing. Is everything that he teach just like this? The son responded, father, the Quran becomes more and more and more beautiful. So they showed the non-Muslims the beauty of the Quran. We have the miracle of the Quran that we should share, and we have to share with the world. Obviously, it doesn't take everyone so quick to embrace. Many a time we want to talk to a person few words, and then we expect them in 2 or 3 minutes to embrace Islam. Sometimes it takes years, but every time we make an effort, alhamdulillah, it is having an impact. It is creating an impact. Never give up. Then the sons did this. Now, be careful, don't try this at home. But anyway, the sons did this. Now, these are wise people, subhanallah, and this is their father who they really worry about. So they knew the father was a very senior person in the Medinan society, known at that time as Yathrib. So at night, when he was deep in his sleep, they took his idol. Manat was the name. Manat, because why? He used to ask the idol for the fulfillment of his aspirations. Munya, umniya, from the one's wishes, umniya. And also from the word manat, from the word, munya, also where shed of blood takes place, where they would sacrifice the animals there, but the idols and so forth. That could be other sources for the name. Anyway, they take his idol and put him outside far, somewhere, some far, far off. The next day when he awakens, now, Amr bin Jamuh was a man who was crippled. He was a'raj. He had a severe, lameness and crippleness to his foot. Aqzam, a'raj. And his looking for his idol to start his day with prayer, and now he doesn't find it situated in its place where he kept it resplendent there, and now he was enraged and infuriated and shouting and screaming and ranting and raving and looking up and down and, you know, shouting. And he doesn't know where to find it. And now he goes out with a few of his servants looking for it. And he finds it far off, situated somewhere, dumped somewhere. He gets so angry. He picks it up. He helped by his helpers. And they bring it back to its place. He washes it, bathes it, perfumes it. But he's wondering, you know, how this works now. How come, you know? Then that happened the first day. The second day, the same thing happened. I'll never forget, Allah gave us tawfiq wing. Thinking now, you know, at least in the Jamaat, when we join the brothers, which is so important, through which Deen came alive in so many of us. And subhanAllah, if we look at our country, how Deen came alive, not only in our country, in the world, through this Mubarak work, alhamdulillah. But we have another duty besides that time. So we decided, okay, alhamdulillah. And actually my brother motivated me towards this, that every home has to be knocked. Now you business brothers and people of different faculties, we advise you at least start with the people you are meeting with already. That's another level where we have to knock their door. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us that tawfiq and we were knocking each door. But at least now we have an answer on judgment day that we knocked every door. But how many doors we haven't knocked, Allah forgive us. Anyway, we get to one door where there was an elderly maade. We just greeted. Normally we tell them, we came to greet you, to visit you. We from this masjid nearby here. We just wanted to see how's everyone in our neighborhood. And we get talking. And sometimes the husband calls us in and we get talking. And then we make some ikram. The next time we go, we take some cakes. And like that, alhamdulillah, we make inroads and we invite to Islam. So this one day, this elderly person, you know, and I saw that there was quite some poverty in the home. So the next time I went with the family, took some groceries, and then she was so elated. And now I'm sitting in the lounge, but I was amazed that somewhere there she had written the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the entrance of the lounge. And then there's idols everywhere in the lounge. So I'm telling her about Allah, who created us all, who protects us. He's protecting us despite everything else. Who should we rely on? The one who's protecting us. And after the ikram, it was easy to say these words, you know. So should we rely on the being who protects us and who made us, or other things we purchase that are manufactured somewhere by some people in some factory? This is the old lady was thinking. But then she says, no. See, these deities are my deities. They protect me. This is a very elderly lady, you know. And she was so passionate when she was saying that, Allah save us all, Allah save our progenies. In that, there was one little idol there that had a flute, but the flute was broken, so there was a lollipop stick, you know, in the mouth. So I'm asking, Ma, what happened here? So she's looking at me and I'm smiling. So she says, yeah, you know, it fell and it broke. It was expensive to repair, so I put the lollipop stick. So I says, Ma, but now, I'm looking at her and she knew what I meant. And, you know, she says, you know, you're talking to me about the Quran. I want to read it, eh? You know, so shukr, Allah is the giver of hidayah, but we have to try. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala does. Allah says, wa ta'ayya makhluk sanayi. But every person has to be given the message. Every person should be given the invite. So here, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam invites them all. Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh, second day, third day. Third day, his sons, while Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh was deep in his sleep, his sons then took his idol and they threw it in the sewage. And subhanAllah, they tied near one dead dog there. Anyway, he gets up the next day and he's ranting and he's raving and he's looking for his deity. And finally, he finds it there in the sewage. And he then realizes that, you know, because the day before he said to his deity, he says to my God, na'udhu billah, that, you know, you should be protecting me. But who does this to you? I really don't know. But leave me now. At least protect yourself, God. You know, and the next day when he sees this, he falls down in sajda for Allah. that he saw his sons make salah, the sajidah and so forth. This is the early stage of the da'wah in Medina Munawwara. Prior to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah, sahaba were paving the way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent sahaba. Hundreds of people embraced Islam at the hands of Hazrat Mus'ab day in Medina Munawwara. Now Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh falls down in sajidah. He says, أُفِّن لِمَصْرَعِكَ إِلَهًا مُسْتَدًا الْآنَ فَتَّشْنَاكَ عَنْ سُوءِ الْغَبَنْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ ذِي الْمِنَنْ الْوَاهِبِ الرَّزَّاقِ دِيَّانِ الدِّيَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَنِي مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي ظُلْمَةِ قَبْرٍ مُرْتَهَنْ. And then he says, الحمد لله بنعمائه الحمد لله وأثني عليه بنعمائه إله الحرام وأستاره فسبحانه عدد الخاطبين. And he praises Allah. He says, Allah, how do I thank you? How do I thank you? I can't thank you enough. The stars are too little. The galaxies are too little. Ya Allah, your praises. Ya Allah, I'm an old man. من بعد شيب القذال. Allah, after I've become gray, you've made the realization dawn upon me. Ya Allah, how do I thank you? What wrong? How I have been duped by idolatry. And he was such a wise man. But you know, hidayat is from Allah. Subhanallah. And Allah gave him the reality. And what a great sahabi. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Himself and his wife, Hazrat Hind, and their children would strive for Allah. And he now dedicated his life for Allah. He used his prominence, his position, his status for Allah. Now comes the expedition of Badr. His sons were participating. Then comes Uhud, and his sons are getting ready. Now they're telling him, Father, you stay. He says, how can I stay? I'm a man too for Allah. I'm a man of Allah too. So now his sons thought, now father is old, let him stay, he'll get the sawab. And you and I like to hear that. But sahaba were not like that. You see, they knew we have to prepare to meet Allah. We also want to sacrifice for Allah. And look at his wife, Hazrat Hind. She tells him, but you know, everyone is going in the way of Allah. Are you going to stay at home? What a motivation his wife gave him, Ya Allah. Hey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his sons, don't force him to stay. If he wants, Allah can give him the greatest honor, which is martyrdom, shahada. And when his wife motivated him, my sisters, you have to motivate the men. You go and join the works of deen. Participate in the amal. Don't do everything to call them at home, to sit at home only. How can your family benefit the whole world? Ask him also, how many people he gave dawah to in the store, in the surgery, in the market? He mustn't talk to the ladies, but you have to motivate him, my sister. Ask him, the jamaats are around, did he participate in the program? And so forth. Spend a few days in the path of Allah in this beautiful work, which is a little sacrifice. Imagine one day how we'll give our entire life, which is the ultimate sacrifice, like Sahaba Kiram. Now imagine the Sahabi goes in the path of Allah. And now in the path of Allah, he made a dua as he was leaving. Ya Allah, I want to be accepted, Ya Allah. Don't bring me back home, Ya Allah. And he goes, Ya Allah. During Uhud, Ya Allah. Him and his son, and he was jumping on one foot in the expedition. Inshallah, this part of the incident we will continue with. If Allah gives us life and the opportunity, what happens to Amr bin Jamuh, who worshipped idols in the past, and his sons made effort on him, how he changed, and now he's hopping on one foot in the battle of Uhud. What happens to him thereafter will be the next discussion, if Allah gives us the opportunity. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ.